it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, we are back. The Red October Rally, the WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz at Stateside Live for the Red October Rally. Ike Reese, how you feeling, brother?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. Yes, sir.
Yep.
Let's go. Get locked in.
You get locked in.
I'm locked in.
All right.
I'm trying to get situated here.
Okay.
That's all. All right. Keep it moving.
You got to ask Fritz.
Well, Fritz, holler at your boy.
Okay, there
yeah,
we go.
Let's go ahead and keep it moving.
Yeah, keep it moving.
All right. Keep it moving. Keep
moving. Yeah, no. I'm getting chastised by Ben Davis for how nervous I am. He's like, you better figure it out.
Yeah,
like,
he's a real ball player, unlike you.
Yeah, a fake ball player. Although I did tell Trey Turner what my stats were today.
You did?
Well, I said, because remember that you got held hostage and did that video?
Oh, yes.
Me versus the camera.
Oh, you told him about the DeCamera stats.
Yeah.
So we are at Stateside Live, the former Xfinity Live. It is a lot of history here. We hung the hinky banner here. Had several lottery parties here. Got the number one pick here. And today we have the Red October Rally. Well, tomorrow.
At least that pick turned into Ben Simmons.
Yeah, right? It worked out well. Tomorrow the first.
That was a good night.
Yeah, it was a good great night. Yeah. That was the best it got. Tomorrow the first 2015 guests get a free Stateside cocktail. Whoa! Starting at 2 o'clock in honor of Stateside being founded right here in Philly in 2015. So yesterday, guys. And Joe Giglio with us for the first hour. Joe, thank you for joining us.
Got it.
Welcome to the show.
Real baseball guy, Joe Giglio there.
Yeah, keep doing it. You need one on the show, so I decided to join.
I'll
go home.
So yesterday, by the way, it's a huge, enormous show because we have the normal elements of our Friday show, right? Costo is going to be on with us, Tommy down the shore, all that kind of stuff. Philly's managing partner and principal owner, John Middleton, joins us at 3. Okay. Ruben Amaro joins us at 3:30. T-Mac at 4. Jesus Lizardo at some point. Yesterday, I was terrified of the Dodgers, and Ike gave me a good talking to.
Yep.
And I spent the evening thinking about it and waking up, and I'm no longer terrified of the Dodgers because, like, this is the Phillies' year this year. You know, every championship team has a story, right? And all the stories, they're all different, right? Sometimes the story is this young team comes out of nowhere and wins a championship. Sometimes the story is this team tries over and over and over again and finally gets there. And the team that tries over and over and over again and finally gets there, it doesn't always go, you know, win one round, then win two rounds, then finally win the big thing. It doesn't always work like that. And this Philly story, which started in 22... we look like we could have that first kind, the championship that comes out of nowhere. Team goes on an amazing run, loses to a very good team in the World Series, in the Astros, and we felt like we were on the beginning run of something. So then the next year, we get to the NLCS, we go home, up 3-2, and shockingly lose to the Diamondbacks 4-3 in the NLCS, lose the final two games at home, but still, I believe, there was a lot of optimism for the Phillies. But last year is when the real expectations started. And this team started off on fire. And then in the middle of the season, we could all feel it, even if we didn't say it out loud, the team just didn't have it anymore. And they couldn't figure out a way to get it back. And they lost in embarrassing fashion to the Mets. And that is when I believe the real true test of this team began. Because everybody couldn't just do the same thing that they've always been doing, right? It was a test for Trey Turner. Could he adjust and become a leadoff hitter? It was a test for Rob Thompson. As a laid-back guy, could he do things in a different way? And this year is when I start to see the parallels with the last two championships here in Philadelphia, the 2017 Eagles and the 2024 Eagles. So the 2024 Eagles, the previous year in 2023, were a lot like last year's Phillies team. Started off hot, started off 10-1, lost 6 of 7, and then lost in embarrassing fashion in the playoffs. And what did they do after that? They could have crumbled. This era of Eagles football could have gone away, right? Nick Sirianni could have gotten fired. Who knows what would have happened? But instead, they all came together, they became the best version of themselves, and they won a championship the next year. So that's how I see the similarity to the 2024 Eagles. And I also see a similarity to the 2017 Eagles, who lost their best player toward the end of the season in Carson Wentz. And what did they do? They all banded together, they played better, and they had a hero that nobody expected in Nick Foles. Now, I don't think we have the direct thing in Nick Foles, but I think in other players we have that thing. We have Christopher Sanchez, who is ready to step into the number one starter role. And I think we have Harrison Bader, who from a vibe standpoint has some of the similarities to a Nick Foles, right? The team rallied around Nick Foles because of his personality, because of how he played, because he wasn't afraid of the big spots. And I just think this Phillies team, with all that they have been through and all that has got us here, do they have to play the Dodgers? Sure, they have to play the Dodgers. But to win the World Series, you have to beat good teams. And whether you beat them in the NLDS or the NLCS or the World Series, you're going to play a really good team. I just feel like this team is ready. They are battle-tested. They know what they're up against. And when they are faced with hard situations like they were last year against the Mets, I don't think they're going to crumble. Like, I think they will dig deep. I think they will grind out at-bats. I think they will get great performances out of their starters. And I think they're going to do it. And I think this is the year they win the World Series. Dodgers now or Dodgers later. I just think this is the year.
Let's go, Joe!
You pumped? I think this is the year. I just think it is.
We're back to it's the year?
It's the year. I just think it is. I think they've been through everything.
Seriously.
They've faced everything. This is the year.
I love you.
Yeah.
Damn, that put us all to sleep there. I'm just letting you know that thing was long. Pause. Yeah, definitely. Get us in there, Joe.
Listen, I'm pumped. Spike didn't pump you up?
Well, listen, Spike told us we were going to win the World Series like 3 months ago.
I did.
He's been on this.
Yeah, I've
been on. And that's when I bought in.
Yeah.
I bought in then. Mm-hmm. He disappointed me yesterday, so I'm slowly.
The Dodgers fear.
I'm slowly moving back around.
He's back
to,
now.
I hear him.
I knew he'd be back today.
I was being honest.
It's the rally. You got to be pumped at the rally.
And I was being honest yesterday. I'd watched two games of the Dodgers, and I was terrified. But I'm not terrified anymore.
Well, the one thing you said in there that
terrified is the word.
Yeah.
Yes.
Scared. Terrified.
Yeah.
Both the examples you gave, and I know this one is to start off the postseason, but. Those Eagles teams had to go through the Patriots.
Yes.
And the Chiefs.
Yes.
So, look, I wish it wasn't the Dodgers in the first round, but that's what it is. Like, we have to beat them at some point to win the World Series. Just like the Eagles needed to beat the Chiefs, they needed to beat the Patriots. And the Phillies are capable of beating the Dodgers. They are absolutely capable. They have home field advantage. And I don't think the Dodgers are quite as great as they were a year ago. So they could absolutely do it. And, yeah, they have all those similarities to those teams. I felt this in spring training. They know this is their last shot. I know we don't want to say it. We don't want to talk about it right now because it puts a
what do you mean last shot with this core?
This group, yeah. Well, it just might be their last shot and for a while.
Period? Really?
Well, I don't think for the
first. All right. Aiden's coming.
Hold on. I think it could be a good thing for them. Like you could be paralyzed by it or you could just say, this is it. This is our team. This is our year. And I think they've embraced it. And I think they're ready. Like I don't think the moment.
Well, from their viewpoint,
I
totally agree with that. I'm just saying, from a fan's viewpoint, I don't believe this is the last shot we have at winning the World Series.
This is the last great one they have, maybe.
For now.
For now, yeah.
For now.
No.
Yeah. For now, but the future does look good. We got some good young talent.
Sure.
But all right.
Let's go win this one. How about? How's that sound?
Hey, why don't you guys calm down?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think they know.
I agree
that you know they got a career year out of Kyle Schwarber. They got a bounce back career year out of Trey Turner.
They have a batting title. They have JT Realmuto. They have Chris Sanchez getting his top. He's gonna finish second in the NL Cy Young voting. Yeah. They have Jesus Luzardo 200 plus strikeouts. They got a real closer. Guy who's the fourth highest slave percentage in the history of baseball. Like, go time.
Yeah,
go time.
Win the World Series.
Yeah.
Win the World Series. And you know what? They get past the Dodgers, then all of a sudden, like you're going to feel unbeatable. Yeah. You beat the Dodgers. You get past the Dodgers in this round, then all of a sudden you look at the rest of baseball and there are good teams out there. The Brewers are a good team, the Cubs are a good team, the Yankees are a good team, the Blue Jays, they're all good teams, but none of them, I just want to put in perspective the Dodgers. We were talking about in the offseason that this team that they would have to change the rules of baseball because of the talent they assembled with this Dodgers team. Like, that is what they're up against. A team that we thought coming into this year, it wasn't just that they were going to win 100 games, it's how many games over 100 were they going to win.
That's set the wins record.
That's who they're facing. And they get past this team, I just think that they will... Like, you can't look at the rest of – obviously, there are other good teams to beat, but you beat this team. I think this team's going to be flying on air.
Yeah.
Walking on air, rather.
So here's where I'm at with this. I agree with a lot of that. I just don't build the Dodgers up to be that. I really don't. There is something to winning already and whether or not you have that same focus and desire to go win again. I don't know if the Dodgers have that. Sure, the talent is there. The talent has always been there. It's always been there, but they don't always show up either. So I won't build this team up like that. I think there is something with this team. Maybe it's because I'm closer to this team and we follow this team a little bit more, but I think there's something from an intangible standpoint that I feel comfortable and confident in going up against this Dodger team with. It may be the perfect opponent for us. We need an opponent that everybody else thinks is unimaginable to overcome.
Yeah.
Like, we sort of need that.
Just make like us feel like the underdog.
Well, yes. The Phillies are the underdog. I mean, they've become the underdogs in this series.
So, right, and most of us don't feel comfortable that prior to this series, everybody was picking the Phillies to win the World Series. Okay, so.
I like this more.
Now we're in our comfort zone, and everybody's expecting the Dodgers to win. I like that. I like that. I like the fact that the first two games are at home. Right? Yep. I like that. So if the Dodgers win this series, they will earn it. They will earn it. Because they're not coming in here and just walking through two games here and going back to L.A. 2-0. They're not. I don't think that's happening. I think this team has more to it than allow that to happen. I think they are certainly scarred, and they haven't let go of some of the past failures. And to your point, they do realize where they're at right now. They do realize this may be it for them. And sometimes that can be a motivating factor as well.
And you know what? I like the fact that this team individually and as a collective are battle tested, not just over the last 4 years, but in this year. The fact that they lost Zach Wheeler and they battled through it. They lost Bryce Harper for a month. They lost Aaron Nola for 2.5 or 3 months.
Yeah.
They lost Trey Turner for the last few weeks of the season.
Yeah.
They lost Boehm, right? Jesus Luzardo went through a down spot in the middle of the season. Ranger Suarez looked like he lost it in the middle of the season, right?
Yeah.
All of these guys, Trey Turner had to not only change his spot in the lineup, but change his approach. He went from a guy who every time he stepped up there, we're like, oh, this guy's going to try to hit a home run again, to the guy that led the league in infield hits, right? Mm-hmm. And was stealing bases and was setting the table. We have Kyle Schwarber who is putting up a career year, you know? I just think like this team in general has stepped up to every challenge, and I think their leader, and I think this, when I'm talking about Rob Thompson, I think his might be the most important adjustment of all. A guy
that's our ace.
What?
That's our ace, Rob Thompson.
Yeah.
That is our ace this year. That's what we haven't had in years past. To me, and this is no disrespect to Rob, but I don't think he's ever had a real impact from a tangible standpoint that we could actually see on the postseason in a positive way. And again, I don't mean that in a negative. I think one of his strengths is allowing his players to figure things out and work through things, and it's worked well for him. But also, that is a little bit of a blind spot where sometimes these guys get comfortable in their own settings and they don't change, so they never do figure it out. And that's what we saw last year. I think this year, Rob Thompson has done his best job as the manager of this team, having an impact and his imprint on the team. And I think what he does, how he handles the lineup, how he handles the starting rotation, how long he allows these guys to pitch versus when he's starting to go to his bullpen, all of those things, more so than any other year, this year, Rob Thompson, I believe, will have a greater impact on it. And I'll tell you, he's earned the trust, at least for me he has, from what he's done this year.
He didn't just wait for things to get better when they went
proactive.
Wrong. He was proactive.
Yeah.
Whether it means moving Stott to leadoff and then moving him down in the lineup. Moved up in the lineup, moved down in the lineup. You could see that. And then the other thing that is like I don't think that you could have imagined what Rob Thomson did with the outfield this year and what he decided to do with Nick Castellanos in the face of a guy who by the way, did not accept this at all. You know, kicking and screaming the entire time. But he pushed and he kept doing it. And you know what? He might end up getting the best out of... You're looking at these guys. Max Kepler's hitting 215. Weston Wilson's hitting 190. Nick Castellanos statistically is having the worst year of his career. But you look at him and somehow he's finding a way to make it work. And I give credit to Dave Dombrowski because he didn't sit on his hands at the trade deadline. And one of the things that is making... We give Rob Thomson credit for the outfield platoon, but the outfield platoon doesn't work unless you have Harrison
Bader. You gotta have somebody there,
You need Harrison Bader in center field to
make... He's like the linchpin of it.
Well, he makes everything else make sense, right? Yeah. Because you can't have a platoon in every single outfield spot. And by the way, we said that when Bader got here. We all said he's got to end up being the center fielder. Wait, look at the career year we got out of Brandon Marsh as well. The guy's hit over 300
after April. I mean, he got zero hits in April. The other thing about them that I think is worth noting is because there's going to be down moments, right? October has them. You're not going to win every game. They're not going to sweep every series. They're probably going to blow one. They're resilient. I mean, every time this season it felt like, uh-oh, they're going to fall apart.
Yep.
Like they get swept in New York in April. They bounce back. They
Schwarber
got swept
hits four homers.
Yep, they got swept by the Pirates. They got swept by the Pirates in Pittsburgh. They bounce right back.
That was a tough one.
That was tough. I said it was rock bottom, and then they bounced right back. Then they got swept by the Mets.
And you've been in and out of this team all year, Gillio.
Listen.
Like a seesaw.
Come on. You have too.
I'm always steady.
Always steady.
Everyone knows where I am.
I love how resilient they are. And I think, like, last year when the Mets punched them in Game 3, I was like, uh-oh. I didn't think they were getting back. I think they can get back up if the Dodgers punch first or second in the series. I don't think they're going to fold.
And you know what?
I don't know if we can get back up. We need to punch first.
I don't have to get back up. I need them to get back up. I'm down.
And I think the best thing out of all of this is they won 96 games, right? 96 games this year. Yeah. We haven't even seen the best of Bryce Harper this year. And this is the time every season where he says, where we say, this is the time that he lives for. And you know, it was a fine year from Bryce Harper. You know, there were injury things, all that sort of stuff. Statistically, it was fine. There was never a time this year where you said to yourself, Bryce Harper is carrying the Phillies. And my hope is he's holding it for now. Because everyone's had a chance. It's been the bottom of the lineup that has held up the Phillies for parts of this year, right? The Marsh stat. It's been Kyle Schwarber that has held up the Phillies. It's been Trey Turner. Yeah. But it's been the starting rotation, which, you know, at the beginning of the year, we said, thank God we have the starting rotation. But it hasn't been Bryce yet. And tomorrow is when I think that the true Bryce Harper, the Bryce Harper who is one of the best players in baseball, steps in and shows why he is one of the faces of Major League Baseball. This is the time for him to do it. We haven't gotten that from Bryce yet this year, and this is the time for him to do it.
And I hope that CBS top 25 players left in the postseason, I hope that made its way.
Oh, yeah, please post that up in the clubhouse.
Yeah. I think he'd Pivetta 14.
That list was a joke.
It is kind of cool that Chris Sanchez was number five.
That's all I'm saying.
That part of it, I don't want to. They're hanging the clubhouse. Hang another one in Sanchez's locker as a good one. Guy.
And Ranger on there. Ranger.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
25?
Yeah. 215-592-9494. All right, a big show coming up. We will talk a little Eagles next because they have a big game on Sunday. But just the Red October rally, we have John Middleton joining us at 3. We have Ruben Amaro joining us at 3:30. T-Mac joining us at 4. Jesus Lizardo joining us later on in the show. And then, you're Zeusing. I thought you were booing.
No. Come on, man.
We are at the Red October Rally at Stateside Live. Where is Stateside Live? It is the former Xfinity Live right here in this sports complex in South Philly. Parking is free. Hope to see you here. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. 2:30 Tupac, of course. It's the Red October Rally. We're at Stateside Live in South Philly at the sports complex.
Hopefully more dying in L.A., huh?
Get it?
Got him.
Got him.
Got him.
Got him.
God, I want to beat this team's ass so bad.
Oh, it would be so nice.
Oh, my God. I'm
send them
sick
home
of them.
With their billions of dollars.
Yeah, you stupid hedge fund.
Yeah. Well, we know the only reason Ohtani is still playing Major League Baseball is because Major League Baseball protected Ohtani. We know he broke the rules. We know he gambled.
Where's your bookie? Come on, man.
Tomorrow, by the way, at Stateside Live, first 2015 guests get a free Stateside vodka cocktail starting at 2 p.m. in honor of Stateside being founded right here in Philly in 2015. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. The Bedlam of October is back. Shop world-class diamonds to make her feel like a world champion every day at Mark's. Online at marks-jewelers.com. As the series gets closer, which are you feeling more, confident or nervous? Ike, guess where the poll is at.
I would hope more confident. I don't know how much more than nervous it would be. I maybe slightly, let's go 54% is more confident.
It's 53% nervous.
Wow.
I need to get people back here. I need to get people. We can't have, we don't need a tight Citizens Bank Park to start tomorrow.
Well, the message for that is don't freak out early. Because I feel like
they're going to freak out early.
Yeah, but like you got to have patience. The main thing is not hitting Ohtani tomorrow. The main thing is getting Ohtani out of the game as quick as possible.
Yes. Yeah.
The main thing is Sanchez holding down this Dodgers lineup.
Like this is just five you got to prepare yourself for
six innings. Yes.
2-1 games, 3-2 games. Like it's not going to going to be an offensive showing.
Yeah.
But I know why it's going to be a tight ballpark, but leave the tightness for the 7th and 8th. You know what I mean? Early.
I agree.
We still got to be on Ohtani.
Yeah.
I need tomorrow night to be like what's happened to Sabathia in 08 and Strider in 22. Like it's got to be like an all-time get Ohtani rattled. He's never pitched in a playoff game. I know he's the greatest player we've ever seen, but like he's never done this in the major leagues. He's never when he was with the Angels they didn't make the playoffs and obviously last year he couldn't pitch.
Well, his biggest moment on the mound is the World Baseball Classic where he closed it out against Trout.
Yeah.
And, there's two things going for him. First of all, it's his first playoff game. Who knows how much money he has on the game as well.
Sure.
A lot, I'm sure.
Yeah. So before we get back to the phones, we do have an Eagles game on Sunday as well. And we were talking on the show yesterday about this very thing. And the closer we get to the game, the more I think that it's true. And the reason I think so is because I have no feel on the game whatsoever. Now, part of that is that we're facing an opponent that I don't watch a lot of the Denver Broncos. I don't think about the Denver Broncos that often.
Well, that's not true.
But normally, Bo Nix, I love in general. But you know what I'm saying. It's not a team. It's not a team. They're 2-2. They've played some good games. They've played some close games. But it's not the reason that I don't have a feel for the game is not because of the Broncos. It's because of the Eagles. And I keep going back to this, is that this game, not just because of the AJ thing. Take the AJ tweet stuff out of it because I don't ever want to talk about it again. Just the offense in general and the defense in general, trying to figure out which way it's actually going to trend. Because we can say over and over and over again, they just need time. You know, the offense needs time to click with each other, new offensive coordinator. We can say over and over and over again that the offensive line, you know, they're one block away. But at a certain point, we're going to be a third of the way through the season, and they're just going to kind of be are who they are. And if they are who they are again, if they're the team that we have seen, the inconsistent team that we've seen all season long on Sunday, especially offensively, I think that everything has a chance to unravel a little bit. And if we see a team that is cohesive, that moves the ball regularly, that everything, again, put the AJ thing to the side for a moment, just about how they're moving the ball, I think the season could really start to feel like a special type season, which it doesn't feel like to me so far. So I don't know which way it's going to go. All I know is that this game on Sunday feels like a very, very important game for the Eagles. And by the way, I forget who mentioned it yesterday. Oh, it was Sheil. You know, every time that there is over certainly in last year, when there was controversy leading up to the game, the Eagles played a big game. It was going into the Giants game after the Cleveland game, after the bye, right? They went in there. They played a real good game. We had the is-that-what-y'all-wanted-to-see game going into the Pittsburgh game. I just don't know which Eagles we're going to get, and I think which Eagles we're going to get on Sunday could be the Eagles that we get for the rest of the year.
Well, listen, there's a lot of football left to be played. And you know, this team, for whatever reason, is sort of off to another slow start. Takes them a while to sort of shape and form who they truly want to be as a football team to where you can say this is what you're going to get every week. I'll say this. I'll give them through Sunday and Thursday. They got six games. Figure this thing out. No matter what they do, worst case scenario is 4-2 and we're upset for the next 10 days after next Thursday night. But if they are 5-1, think about it. They're still 5-1 through six games. That's why when you win football games, no matter what, it's so important because you're banking W's that you don't have to give back. That there are going to be teams that started off 2-2, 1-3, they get hot, that they're going to wish they had a 4-0 start when they don't make the playoffs like the Bengals did last year.
Yeah, I think it buys them time.
Of course it does.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course it does. That's the benefit of winning games when you're not even playing well is you have so much more time to figure it out. If it was the end of the year, if we're in the 13th week, 14th week, that's different because you're saying, you know what? You don't have enough time to change who you are going into the playoffs. But they got 13 games left? They got 13 football games left plus a bye week, two 10-day stints in there where they play Thursday night games. It's a lot of time for them to get this thing figured out. It doesn't look pretty right now, but there's still a lot of time. They've earned that. 2-2 last year, and everybody was going crazy. They went on the run that they did. All I'm saying is that they've earned the benefit of the doubt and waiting when you have this much time left to go. So Sunday, I'll see what happens Sunday. And, hey, I'll tell you what. Because they are 4-0, if they lost Sunday, I don't know how bad of a thing that would be.
Yeah.
I would just go ahead and say I don't ever want to give games away. But if it takes, AJ said it the other day, right? He said, you want to get it fixed now while you're winning versus having to do it when you lose a game.
Yep.
Because that's when you're really going to have to see it. I'm paraphrasing what he said. But he's basically saying, get it done now while you can, because once we lose a game, then you're not going to have a choice.
Yeah, he said learn from winning rather than learning from losing.
And maybe that's what this is going to take for this team.
You did to lose a game.
Yeah, to lose a game.
And then, this is the time to figure it out, right? It's this month. Look, I think the Broncos are pretty good, but after this, the Giants twice and the Vikings.
And the Vikings,
next year,
yeah.
Like, if you go back to last year, October is when they figured it out. They played bad teams, and they started picking it up. But they needed to because November came around, and they played the Commanders. They played the Rams, the Ravens.
It's kind
of the same thing this year. That November schedule has the Lions and Packers.
Yeah.
They need those games. Like, those are going to be the games that decide if they're going to be the one
seed. And
that's
not even getting into December when you got Chargers, you got Buffalo,
Commanders.
You got Commanders
so they,
twice.
This next month,
got Dallas again.
Yeah. Like, I think they should win three out of the next four games, even if they are still figuring it out. These teams are not good.
Yeah.
Except the Broncos might be good. But, like, this is the time. I kind of agree with you, Spike. We're going to find out, is this going to start turning? Because last October started to turn the right direction, and they were ready for November and December. Or are we just going to keep plodding along here?
Well,
you know, the way they've been.
And the one thing that we've talked about a lot but hasn't been a headline, but it affects two of the things we talk about a lot. We've talked about the passing game, we've talked about the running game, right? But the one thing that is central to both of those things is the offensive line. And we've always taken for granted the last couple of years that our offensive line is great. One of the best last year, the best offensive line in football. And we came into this year, okay, we lose Becton, but everybody else we're super confident in. We just assume they're going to be one of the best offensive lines in football. Well, I can tell you so far, they're not one of the best offensive lines in football.
Yeah.
You can see it from the run production. And when we're talking to Mike Mayock yesterday, and we're asking why the sack rate is going up, he said pass protection has not been good. So that is one thing. That's not a scheme thing.
Yeah.
You know, that is how well they're playing. It's Landon Dickerson, how healthy he is. It's Tyler Steen, how good he even is. And I think it was Jordan who said it. You know, Saquon had a lot of reps in him last year because of the running game. You know who else had to do a lot of work in that running game? It's the offensive line.
Yeah.
They played a lot of football games last year. They didn't have a bye last year, you know. So I don't know what the offensive line is going to be for the rest of the season. And they need to start. They can't just be one block away every single week. You know, eventually they have to start getting those blocks. 215-592-9494. We're at the Red October Rally. John Middleton will join us at 3 o'clock. Nick Kostos joins us around 2:42 to give us your picks for the weekend. Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Hey, man, Spike, glad to have you back, man. Yesterday you had me worried. You had them, you know, them STDs. I'm scared to death out there, you know. I'm glad you back
I'm
on
back.
This side.
Yes, but I'm
look,
back.
I love all the analysis, all that, but me, I'm a fan. You know, this weekend, we about to eat 2 W's, you know what I'm saying, like I told y'all yesterday. Also, real quick, for the next week, I'm like, can I get a request, for the show, we might have to chill out on that 232 pot. You know what I'm saying? Them L.A. cats coming to Philadelphia, you know, the concrete jungle where we do our thing. We might want to chill out on giving them some L.A. views. You know what I'm saying? Like, put some freeway in there. Put some, you know, we got to
chill.
It's a bit.
Yeah.
You know what
I don't
I'm
know.
He
does have East Coast music too.
Yeah, we should just use some of the
Jack doesn't know the difference.
Yeah. I can't. Is there actually a difference?
Yes.
How?
There's a difference.
Of course there's a difference.
What's the difference?
We ain't got time to talk about
the
it.
The sound.
Like,
yeah. We're getting all of Pat Corey down for a second. What is like?
The sound. You don't know the difference from the East Coast.
So what's an example of one of his most popular East Coast song?
California Love.
That's an East Coast song?
Wow. No, I thought you said West Coast.
No,
I'm sorry.
No.
East Coast?
Yeah.
Well, most of his
the
East
first
Coast,
two albums.
Yeah, his early albums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll look into it. We'll break it down.
Listen to, what's the last song on the second record? The one with Tretch on it. It is Five Deadly Venoms. That's an East Coast song.
East Coast.
Yeah. Listen to the second album.
The producers on his early albums were East Coast, mostly East Coast guys.
Yeah.
And then he started doing more West Coast stuff.
All right. I'll figure it out.
This reminds me earlier when Jack was on with us and Hugh was talking about a movie that Jack had no idea about.
You ever hear of the movie?
He started with Digital Underground, so that's starting with the West Coast.
You ever hear the movie Candyman?
Yes.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Oh, okay.
I'd never seen it.
Yeah, you mean Candyman, the horror movie?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. I had no idea what it was.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, Corey. You can go ahead.
Yeah, you good. You know, because sometimes you got to educate him, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of work to do. Candyman is like his Beetlejuice, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Hey, but look, but anyways, like, I'm not worried about no Dodgers. Listen. The Dodgers, they a pretty team. I told y'all yesterday, we the gritty team, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? They got the best player in baseball, Otani. They got Yanomomo. They got Blake Snell. They got all these deep pockets. Hey, when they play the Phillies, Joe Gilio, the baseball guy, what's they record versus the Phillies?
2-4 this season.
That's all I know. You know what I'm saying? And when you got to play the game on the field, you got to come to Citizens Bank Park.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Go against the fighting Fields, Bryce Harper and the crew, the Ohio legend, and Trey Turner and them crew. You know what I'm saying? Nick Castellanos will have a big game for us tomorrow. You know, he's tired of being disrespected. Now, listen, you get disrespected because your game ain't been showing up, but he's going to show up in this series. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do it, but like I said, I'm not an analyst. I'm a fan, baby. You about to sweep these boys. Get out the brooms.
Get the brooms out.
Get them out. You know what I'm saying? Get them out. I ain't afraid. Y'all need to get that nervousness out of you. I told y'all, drop them STDs and get them out of your system.
I don't know if we can do the STD thing.
Hey, man, we about to put some puts in Dodgers. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, we the gritty team.
And all right, Corey.
On Sunday,
yeah.
We eat a W. Go Birds, baby.
All right, go Birds. Kid, let me tell you, they sweep the Dodgers, this city's going to be melting down.
Oh, we will be planning the parade route before the NLCS starts.
We will be the chestiest we've ever been if they sweep the Dodgers.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Bills
I'm just wondering.
Four. Make it four.
I'm wondering about the effect of Saturday night and the game impacting Sunday.
Sunday's crowd.
1 o'clock.
And then what about the crowd Monday?
Like, no, I think people could get back up.
Well, I'm saying, exactly.
Sunday's going to be a quiet
Sunday
crowd.
Sunday will be a quiet day to where everybody's recharging the battery, getting ready for Monday.
Well, maybe the passing game will get everyone fired up on Sunday.
See, that's what I'm worried about Sunday. Do we come out as a sleepy crowd and the team just isn't in it? It's one of these lethargic games.
Well, you said we need a loss anyway. So.
No, you said acceptable loss, I believe.
Yeah, that's the headline I see.
Good loss.
Mike Reese says it's better than Eagles.
Wouldn't be a bad thing if they lost.
Yeah. I did say that. I didn't say acceptable, though.
Well, you said I hope they lose. No. All right. You know, so Joe Giglio always has a lot of predictions.
Yes. We're doing this.
He did make 25 bold.
No, I did keep myself accountable on this yesterday.
Why don't you just relax?
I did.
Are you trying to get in front of this?
Yeah, kind
of.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard it. What's
so Joe
on?
Giglio made 25 bold predictions for the 2025 Philadelphia Phillies. Now, to preface this, they are bold predictions. So, you know, he has to sort of shoot. You know,
sounds clickbaity to me.
Well, you know, okay. So the first one is, let's go through them. The Trey Turner leadoff experiment won't work.
That's an L. That's an L.
That's big old swing and a miss.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So that's 0-1. Mm-hmm. The second one, Kyle Schwarber will lead the National League in home runs, slugging 46 in the final year of his contract.
All right.
Sold him a little short, but he led the league in
that's
home
still
runs.
Still good
enough. Yeah, no. Good job.
Yeah, that's a good one. One for two. Number three, Bryce Harper will finish sixth in NL MVP voting.
No.
That's a tough one.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not this year.
Two top five guys, probably, but not Bryce Harper.
Yeah, not Bryce Harper. Zach Wheeler, third, and Christopher Sanchez, fifth, will each finish top five in NL Cy Young voting.
Okay.
Pretty right about that.
Yeah. It would have been flipped, though.
Yeah.
Yes, but we would have had,
both
guys.
They might have finished 2-3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. We don't know, who would have finished 2-3, but I think they're the second and third best pitcher in baseball in the National League this year when Zach Wheeler was
healthy.
That's
a good one.
And okay.
Aaron Nola's strikeout rate and strikeout to walk ratio will continue to decline as innings pile up on his right arm. While not quite sound the alarms on his long-term contract, the righty will fully settle in as a mid-rotation guy.
Sound the alarms!
I should have been harsher. He stunk.
Yeah, I think.
Well, he went through some tough times.
Yeah, he did. That's game three starter.
He should not be the game three starter.
He should be the game three starter.
You want him on the mound?
Of course I do.
Well, he's a big Nola guy.
Six.
I'm going to give Giglio credit for number five because he was saing Aaron Nola would get worse, which he did.
Yes, he did.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Number six, Max Kepler will start out hot, eliciting 2009 Raul Ibanez comparison.
Ooh, that was wrong.
No, that was a mess. Yeah.
26 home runs for the All-Star break?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nope. Yeah. We will get to more of these later on. Joining us now, our guy, Nick Kostos. The Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, host of You Better You Bet, Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check out the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Of course, you can listen to You Better You Bet weekdays, You Better You Bet Countdown to Kickoff Sundays 11-1, leading you up to kickoff on the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. Kostos, thank you for joining us again.
What's going on, guys? Great to be on with you. Ahead of what I believe will be another Philadelphia Eagles win this weekend and hopefully put some more money in my pocket.
Yeah, you love betting the Eagles. You had them covering last week, which they did. Cover Eagles cover? Win Eagles win, cover Eagles cover? Isn't that your motto?
Well, fly Eagles fly, win Eagles win, cover Eagles cover. Yes, exactly.
There you go.
And then pay me, Eagles pay me.
So, and by the way, we'll get to baseball in a second because you had a prediction there as well. But So Eagles are 3.5-point favorites at home against Denver. Line a little less than I thought it would be. Didn't you think this would be a little bit higher? 3.5 seems a little cheaper than I expected.
Well, I think what we're seeing here, Spike, and I'm going to throw something out there, and it's not apples to apples, the comparison that I'm going to make. But the take that I'm working on right now, I think the 2025 Philadelphia Eagles are the 2024 Kansas City Chiefs. Now hear me out on what does not mean I think they're going to lose in the Super Bowl. That's not what I mean. But Kansas City last year, they won all those games, obviously, 15-1 in regular season games that they actually tried to win, right? But like, didn't look great in victory. People complained after the wins. It was like the Jesse Pinkman Breaking Bad meme, like they can't keep getting away with this. And yet they won every game. And I think we're going to see something similar from the Eagles this year, where it's not always going to look great. Jalen Hurts isn't always going to throw for 300 yards, and A.J. Brown isn't always going to have 150 and two touchdowns, and Saquon might not have the explosive touchdown runs that he had last year. But at the end of the game, like, they're going to be ahead on the scoreboard. So as far as this game is concerned, like, yes, you're right, the number feels a little low, Eagles 3.5 at home. But, I mean, I think you're going to start seeing people bet against the Eagles when they're a big favorite for this reason. Can they pull ahead and can they cover big numbers? And as far as I'm concerned with this game, if I had to bet it, I would bet Philadelphia. You put Quinyon Mitchell on Cortland Sutton, you take Cortland Sutton almost entirely out of the game. I think Quinyon Mitchell might be the best cornerback in football right now. He's unbelievable. The gene's obviously great as well. And if you're out there listening and you think the Eagles aren't any good and Kevin Petullo is Italian Brian Johnson, don't even worry about laying the points. Just put the Eagles as a money line parlay piece with something else that you like. Maybe the Arizona Cardinals this weekend against the Tennessee Titans. I don't know if the Eagles are going to cover. I think they will. But I know that the Eagles are going to win on Sunday because that's what they do.
And I know you weren't making an apples-to-apples comparison with the Eagles and the Chiefs. I understand that. The big difference, though, is you could understand why the Chiefs didn't have a high-level offense last year when you looked at the personnel. It's just the amount of weapons that Mahomes had. The difference with this Eagles team is that part doesn't make sense. And I think that is what is a little harder to resolve for people.
What I would say is when it matters, so second half against the Rams, when you have to go pedal to metal, they have shown the ability that they can do that. My opinion, and I'm not in the coaching meetings, right? My opinion is they know that they can win games as long as they don't turn the football over. Like, they literally have not lost a game since they signed Saquon Barkley, where Hurts, Saquon, Devontae Smith, and A.J. Brown all play. They've won every single game. So why are they going to mess around and start chucking the football all over the place and maybe turn the football over? It's like the only way they can lose. If they play clean football games, their players are better than everybody else's players, and they're just going to win. So, like, I understand that point, but we already have a data point this year where they fall behind and they've got to throw to get back into the game, and they did it against the Rams, and they won that game against the Rams. So I understand where you're coming from, but I don't totally agree.
All right. What else do you another game or two you really like this weekend? Anything on the board?
Yeah, well, always. Let's see.
Who are you kidding?
All right. Let's start with the Jets-Cowboys game Sunday at MetLife Stadium. So we're awaiting, guys, Dallas's final injury report. Yesterday, the Cowboys were without four of their five starting offensive linemen, one of whom is on injured reserve, center Cooper Beebe. They have three Tylers on their offensive line. Seriously, three offensive linemen with the first name Tyler. All first-round picks, and none of them practiced yesterday. And their defense is absolutely terrible, and I actually like what I saw from the Jets' offense on Monday night against Miami, despite the turnovers. I'll take the Jets plus the points, and I do think the Jets are going to win against Dallas on Sunday. And then Sunday Night Football, I love the Patriots this season. I had them last week against Carolina. I gave them out on this show. I love Drake May. I think he's an absolute star. Started from the bottom, now he's here. I think this is a tough test for him going into Buffalo on Sunday Night Football. I think the Bills name their score in this game. I'll lay the 8 with Buffalo on Sunday night against the Patriots.
And give us a prop. I know you love props. You got a prop there you love?
Yeah, let's go to the Sunday night game. Stephon Diggs, last I looked, was 45.5 receiving yards. So he's coming off a torn ACL and also, you know, like Cardi B's baby daddy, God bless him. So it took him a little bit to kind of round into form this season. He played, so if you look at his snap counts, and like I love this stuff because I bet props and I love fantasy football. So the snap counts are skewed for Diggs because the Patriots were up by so many points in the fourth quarter last week that he didn't play in the fourth quarter, basically. But when the game was competitive, he was playing on basically 100% of the snaps. And he's their best wide receiver, and he's now the primary slot receiver. I think they're going to be chasing the game on Sunday night in Buffalo. They're going to have to throw. Give me Stephon Diggs over 45.5 receiving yards on Sunday night.
All right, Kostos. Now, before we always talk, you know, football with you, but before the baseball playoffs started, you said you thought we were going to get a rematch of the 2009 World Series. We would get Yankees and Phillies. Yankees take care of business against the Red Sox. By the way,
thank God.
The performance from Schlittler last night was absolutely unreal. I mean, that was what a performance from him.
Don't sound so excited.
I felt like
Costanza when he gets the massage from the male masseuse. That's how I felt.
So now the Phillies have to take care of the Dodgers. You still think the Phillies in the National League?
Well, okay, so the Yankee fan in me wants to think that the Yankees are going to win the World Series. I do think the Yankees will win the American League pennant. And I felt like if they were going to beat the Red Sox, that that was going to be the direction that things were going to go in. So I do think the Yankees will win the pennant again. I don't want to back off my Phillies opinion. What I will say is this. I think the winner of this series is going to win the World Series, like Phillies and Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers are a small favorite in the series. Dodgers minus 120, Phils plus 100. And look, your audience knows this, and you guys are so dialed into the Phillies. Like, what I'm watching for in the series is, can the Phillies get to the Dodgers' non-starters in the bullpen? Meaning, like, not Roky Sasaki, who's ridiculous, right? Not Clayton Kershaw, who I think you'll see in relief in the series. Not Tyler Glasnow, starting, coming in as a reliever. Can they get to the actual bad relief pitchers? Because if they do, I think the Phillies will win the series, and if that happens, they will be the favorites to win the World Series, and I think they'll take care of the Cubs or the Brewers in the NLCS. And look, I'll be rooting for my Yankees, obviously, if and when they get there, but I will acknowledge that if they do, and it's Yankees, Phils, or Yankees, Dodgers, that the NL representative will be more likely to win than my favorite team.
Well, and if it is Yankees, Phillies, we're going to have to fight you versus the three of us.
Yeah, that sounds great, and honestly, my thought is, Hideki Matsui should throw out the first pitch before game one.
Very funny. Very funny. I appreciate it.
All right, Costos.
What, Derek Jeter? Johnny Damon? What do you think?
Johnny Damon got one open bag because he forgot to cover it. Take it down. Maybe get the stupid camera hanging over the right field wall, too. It could throw out a first
Damon
pitch.
Johnny Damon hit 360 in that World Series against
the Phillies, buddy. Where's Mark? Bring the little lefty Marte. He's more of a threat.
At the Maso Marte reference. I love it. Listen, Yankees have the best pitcher in that series with Cam Schlittler, so I think
All right. Okay. All right. All right.
You guys are going to be up to freak, man, against the Yankees.
All right, Costos. Thank you, brother.
You got it. Wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. I will see you and all the Philadelphia Phillies in the World Series.
All right. Thank you, Costos. There he is, the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider Call is presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary for all your betting and sports talk needs. Check out the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. All right, there are Costos' picks. Gilio, thank you for sitting in the 2 o'clock hour.
Is it time for me to give this seat up to John Middleton?
Little bigger.
He's got it. I'll give it up.
Sorry. So joining us next, Phillies managing partner and principal owner John Middleton is here at Stateside Live for the Red October Rally. We will talk to John next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.